Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
So in these bags, there's a little herbal sachet. There's different ones, and one is a muscle relaxant one, and one is for your skin. If you got one of them, you can put it in for a foot soak, a bath, you can use it as a facial steam, and then there's a few of you that got sleep sachets. And also in there is some declarations for us as women, and I'm sorry the print is so small. I realized after I printed it out that it's really small, so I apologize. I'm going to get a bigger one on our website so you can print it out, and it'll be a full 8.5 by 11 so you can read it really well. But also there's a little card on there, and it's got a seed paper on it. And I just have felt recently, within the last few weeks, the Lord has really impressed on my heart. It's so easy when we're dealing with all of the crises and urgencies as women to just see what's happening above the ground and to focus and respond and react to that. But I really felt a conviction in my heart that the Lord wanted me to focus on getting my soil into a place where things can just grow naturally. And that can be in worship, getting in the presence every day. But it's so important to get our soil fertile, because a lot of times we're so focused on what's happening above the ground that we neglect the ground that it's growing from. And the Lord has really put on my heart that I need to take care of myself better and feed my spirit and my mind and my body. Because when we as women are filled and fed, it's going to naturally come to our family. It's going to just naturally happen. You know, seek ye the first, the kingdom of God, then all these things will follow. And I feel like that's the same for filling ourselves, feeding our spirits, just getting into the reality of heaven. And then it will just naturally come out when we are constantly filled. So those little seed papers have a verse on there, and it's a prophetic word of things coming forth and springing forth, and you can plant that however you want, and hopefully the seeds grow. I don't know if it's good seed paper or not, but we're going to pray and believe that that's going to be a reminder for us that when we are just taking care of our soil, that it's in the garden, in that secret place with the Lord, that things are going to naturally grow. And that also involves pulling weeds up too. That's part of it. So taking out distractions and constant thoughts and lies that the enemy brings in. So I just want to speak a blessing over all of the women here, Lord God. And if there's any extra, feel free to bring it to someone who may not be here. But we just bless these women, Lord God, that you would give them direction and discernment and wisdom on how they need to prepare their soil that is just for them, to just have that place where they're coming before you with their alabaster box and they're bringing their tears, their pain. They're bringing their affections, their desires, and they're bringing their oil, and they're just coming before you. And I really do believe that when we bring our pain to the Lord, he's going to turn that into intimacy. He's going to turn those tears into a beautiful thing. Psalm 84:5, as I walk through the valley of Baca, which is a place of death, a place of tears, of weeping, as we dig springs in those places, the Lord turns it into springs. So he's going to turn our tears into springs. And I declare that and prophesy that over every woman here, that the Lord is going to turn your tears into springs. And they're going to come forth in the desert place, in those places that we feel like we are not enough and that we can't do it on our own. The Lord is going to break forth those springs. So I just pray that over every single woman here, Lord God, that you would just wash over them, Lord. You would just refresh them, Lord God. That you would show them you are a good father. You're not judging them, Lord God. And that you are going to break forth in those dry places, Lord God. And it's not going to be a forced, striving thing. It's going to be a natural response to us just being in a place of intimacy with you, Lord God. I thank you for the women here, Lord. Amen. All right. So going on with the announcements, we will be offering a financial class called Freed Up Financial Living. This is really cool because it's a biblically based approach to managing your finances. And I think that is so important because a lot of times we come with our finances with fear. And that is not how the Lord operates. And we need to get out of that place of fear and that orphan spirit and come in a new perspective. And this is a great course that's going to help. This is going to be free. So this is such a blessing. And we haven't set the start date yet, but we will in the next 7 weeks. So if you have interest, there's a sign-up sheet right there. Please make it a point to sign up because I think that if we can... I know a few years back, we were in a really rough place and our family, and I have two sons, one with additional needs, and I would just be spending money to deal with the situation. And my husband came in and we did the whole Dave Ramsey thing. And I will tell you, that was the hardest thing that has ever happened to me. For the first year, it was rough. It was hard. I was angry. I was having a hard time. But once that year happened and I knew what the budget was and I knew what was set, all of a sudden freedom came, a relief came, and it just became an amazing thing for me. So this is so important for us to figure this out, and no matter what age we are, to get this figured out. All right, family meal next week. This is an amazing week when we can bring people in that may not come every week or maybe have never come before. It's a place where people can get to know each other and we can just, you know, sit and have fellowship. So this is going to be after service. And if you could please bring a side dish or dessert to share. Also, this is something that has come up on our hearts as leaders here. And we really want everyone to know that comes, if you have a small need, we would love to try and meet it today. Please let someone know if you lack something basic like food or gas or anything like that. And we also want you to know the blessing box out there is open to those in the church as well. Please be free to come anytime during the week, now if you want, I mean after service, and get whatever you need. That's not just for the community, it's for the people in our church as well. Also, if you have not known, Marie, who is now the counselor here, and this is, we have just been so amazed by the response because so many of us need godly counsel, and we just need someone who's not necessarily in the situation, but someone who's outside the situation that can kind of give an objective counsel, and it's so important to feel heard. So if you're interested in counseling or you know someone that is, please let Marie know. You can contact her through this brochure. It is a suggested donation of $50. You can give more if you want. You can give less, but this is the suggested donation because we value Marie so much. And when we put money to something, it shows that we value it. So that's very important to remember that. If you have never been here before or if you've never filled one of these out, this is our connection cards, email updates, text updates. We do not inundate you with emails usually once a month. The text reminders are if there's something special happening, you get a text. Do not reply to the text because it's a machine thing. No one's going to text you back. So don't say, who is this? Or what's going on here? Or do you know so-and-so? Don't do anything. No one's going to respond. All right. I'm going to bring Tiffany up. She has an amazing testimony.
I just wanted to share something that happened a couple weeks ago. If you remember, two Sundays ago, we were asked to raise our hand if we needed prayer for something, and then the rest of us gathered around and prayed for people. I was going to raise my hand because about a month before, I did something to my shoulder, hurt my shoulder, and couldn't raise my hand, couldn't raise my arm for, you know, weeks, actually. But then when I saw other people raise their hand, I said, well, mine isn't as important, you know, I'll pray for these people, and, you know, my healing will come in time, or, you know, it'll get better. And interestingly enough, after service that day, I was able to raise my arm completely for the first time in like more than a month. And it reminded me of something that we've probably all read multiple times. And, you know, when you read something that you know well, you have it in your mind and you hear it a certain way or you interpret it a certain way. And my favorite book in the Bible actually is James. I'm very like a rules kind of person. And so I like James, and I was reminded of something I've read a million times in James 5:16, which is, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And I hear it sometimes as so that they may be healed, mm-hmm. but it says pray for each other so that you may be healed. Mm-hmm. So just an encouragement to everybody, you know, pray for other people, be expectant of the healing yes. of your, you know, of your own healing. And, you know, it doesn't have to be anything big, just, you know, if you see a need, pray for the person. If you hear about something going on in someone's life, pray for the person. And you may be surprised. The Lord wants to heal all of us. So just an encouragement for you.
All right. I'm going to follow up with another healing that happened. And then I'll bring you up, Bob.
Okay.
So I love testimonies. And the thing with testimonies is never embellish it or take anything away. Just speak with exactly how it happened, because we need to hear how the different ways the Lord moves. Because it will open our eyes to be expectant for seeing all the different ways that he moves. And I love that, because I never heard that perspective in that verse. It's like when you pray for people, it's going to affect you. And I love that. So I had a situation happen. I had done a market for my business a few weeks ago. I think it was like 2 weeks ago. And I had like three different bags. And at the end of the market, I have this huge bag. It was probably about 80 pounds, because I like to just think that I can lift things that are really heavy. And I was by myself, and I have the bag right here, and I went to lift it into my car seat. So if you know, you kind of have to, it's a little bit hard to do 80 pounds. So I'm lifting it, and as I lifted it up, I messed my knee up real bad. And if you guys know, with knees, it can get really rough because you bend and you need to walk and you'll feel everything. So I had this knee pain that was, I knew it was going to be pretty bad, and I had gone home, put the stuff away, and I went to get a grocery for one of the kids, and I was driving my car, I was by myself, and I just was like, you know what, I'm going to pray for my knee. And I have prayed over myself many times without seeing anything in the natural happen, but I just put my hand on my knee and I said, be healed in Jesus' name. And I just felt like this little wave of relief, but then the pain came back. And I was like, okay. And I did it again. And I felt another wave of relief come, and the pain came back. And I did it about 5 or 6 times. It just, for some reason, I just kept doing it. And wouldn't you know, after the sixth or seventh time, the pain just left and it did not come back. And I thought that was so interesting, because a lot of times we think, you know, in Tiffany's thing, people coming together to pray. But just be encouraged, even if you have prayed over yourself how many times and haven't seen a response, the Lord does heal and he wants to, and don't give up. Keep on praying, keep on having that focus, because I wasn't actually expecting that to happen. It shocked me, and that's not the response that we're supposed to have. But we want to get into a place where when people walk into this church, supernatural healings come during worship. Even when people aren't laying hands, we want to be open to all the ways the Lord wants to heal. And we want this place to be a house of worship, but also a house of healing. So I'm done with that. Now you can come up out.
Awesome. And he'll never run out, right?
Yeah.
He can never run dry of healings and signs, wonders, and miracles, right? Yeah. So piggybacking on all of this stuff, we're going to be doing some pretty cool things here at the Well. One of them is something that has been on my heart for a little while, is having a worship night during the week. And I think we brought this up, was it last month, I think, at leader meeting. And Pastor Matt told me to pray about it and things like that. And we decided on Thursdays. And trying to figure out a date. And the whole time there was something that I felt was missing. Because of some of the things that have been happening here, what we're going to do on with these worship nights is we're going to focus on healing. So we're going to invite people that need healing to show up, to worship, to pre-prayed over. You know, we're going to have live worship. We're going to have a word. We're going to have people being healed. It's going to be awesome. But we're going to need helpers. So I was wanted to bring this up to everybody here. If you're able to dedicate a Thursday for an hour, possibly 7 to 8 o'clock, to either help lead worship or to be part of the prayer team, either every Thursday, every other Thursday, but, you know, dedicate a little bit of time, Just come and talk to me, and we'll figure out a schedule and see what the Lord does. Amen?
Awesome. All right. Dave, you can come on up.
So while he's coming.
So when you were praying for ears, I had some other things going on, but I had a ringing in my ears that was really bad all the time, and I've noticed having a hard time hearing people. So I put my hand, my fingers in my ears and prayed with you, and it's weird. It's like a fogginess has gone away, so it's clearer. So I'm going to keep praying. That
Yes, complete healing, Lord.
Okay.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Amen. Thanks for all the wonderful testimonies, and we do pray that God continues the healing that he's begun. So I'm glad you all made it out today. I don't have what you might consider a typical Mother's Day message. We're not going to look at the lives or the legacies of any of the great women in Scripture, but surely I do want to honor mothers. And spiritual mothers, I want to honor all those that are here and all those that will be hearing this message. And first, as we honor mothers, I want to look at a portion of Scripture in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth.'" So God created man in his image, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And while we refer to God as Father, women are also created in and are examples of the image and likeness of God. And that's one of the reasons why there's power in a marriage. Because as a man and woman come together, they better reflect the full image and likeness of God. And it's also why it's very important and very critical that we have both men and women serving and worship and leading and working in the church. Because that too reflects the balance of God's character and the more fullness of his character. And again, while we refer to God as Father, in truth, mothers better reflect and portray many of the qualities and characteristics of God. In Matthew 23:37, Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who have been sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling." And you know, you often hear the expression that you don't want to mess with a mama bear's cubs. You know, and in many ways that natural protective instinct of mothers, that they would die to defend their children, that's a reflection of Jesus' willingness to die so that we could live. And that's why the powers of evil in this day are trying so hard to minimize, marginalize, and degrade what motherhood really is. How will they believe a God would die for their sins if mothers would kill their children rather than die for them? You know, mothers also reflect God's unconditional love and forgiveness. It's often said that you can substitute God for love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, but I believe that too can be said of mothers. A mother's love is patient and kind. A mother's not jealous, does not brag, and is not arrogant. She does not act disgracefully, does not seek her own benefit, is not provoked, does not keep an account of wrong suffered. She does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. She keeps every confidence, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. A mother's love never fails. And you know, obviously we live in a broken world, so that not everybody has experienced that unfailing love of a mother. And for those who've not experienced the greatness of a mother's love, I pray that God will show you an extra measure of his love and grace, that he will redeem and restore what the world has tried to steal. So as we move on, I said we don't have a typical Mother's Day message here. What I want us to do is to think a little bit outside the box as we look at an account of a woman who became a spiritual mother. despite her circumstances and life choices. It's from John 4, and it includes verses 4 to 42, and it's a very familiar portion of Scripture to those of us at the well, because it's a basis of the name itself. So John 4, beginning at verse 4. And he had to pass through Samaria, so he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, tired from his journey, was just sitting by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. So the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, though you are a Jew, are asking me for a drink, though I'm a Samaritan woman?" Jesus replied to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us this well and drank of it, himself and his sons and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw water." He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said to him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband." "This which you have said is true," the woman said to him, "I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, yet you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one must worship." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, that a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Samaria. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, because salvation is from the Jews. But a time is coming, and even now has arrived, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And we are in that time. It was then, but we are also in that time when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And if we're going to worship in spirit, then we need to be filled with and yield to the Holy Spirit. To worship in truth, we need to follow that first and great commandment, the one that Kat talked about. In Matthew 22, 37 and 38, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." And Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord and not for people, knowing that it is the Lord, from the Lord, that you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve." So all that we are and all that we do should be as worship to the Lord. The scripture in John 4 continues. The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking to you." And at this point, his disciples came, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What are you seeking?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is he?" They left the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples were saying to one another, No one brought him anything to eat, did he? And Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields, that they are white for the harvest, and already the one who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the one who sows and the one who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you have not labored, and others have labored, and you have come into their labor. Now from the city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, He told me all the things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves and know that this one truly is the Savior of the world. You know, we're not told in the account whether the woman, the Samaritan woman, was a mother. We can assume she probably was if she had had five husbands and was on a sixth man. We're only told that her past was less than spotless. Yet we also see in this account that in some ways, despite all that, she became a spiritual mother to the entire village. Her encounter with Jesus opened the door for many more to believe. And regardless of our past or present circumstances, our encounters with Christ can also open the door for many to believe. We too need to observe the fields, that they're white for the harvest. Every day, like Jesus, we have encounters with people who don't know that Jesus is the one true Savior of the world. You know, if you were here the last time I shared, we closed our service praying for our families and our friends who don't know that Jesus is the one true Savior, because time could be short. So we spent that time. One of the things, as much as it is hard on our hearts to know that some of our own family and loved ones aren't in the right place in relationship with the Lord, but we've always prayed to the Lord, Lord, be about our business as we're about yours. So we all have this responsibility. We might not be the one that can reach our own loved ones. We might not be the one that they'll receive the truth from. It may have to be somebody else. But in the meantime, they're all God's children. Every day, like Jesus, we have encounters with people who don't know that Jesus is the one true Savior. What if, like Jesus, our meat was to do the Father's will and to accomplish his work? What if that was what motivated us and sustained us? What if we viewed the encounters that we have with people not as random chance interactions, but as divine appointments ordained and orchestrated by God and facilitated by the Holy Spirit? How many more individuals, families, and towns might believe because of his word? In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and as far as the remotest parts of the earth. May that be our meat today. May being his witness be our motive and what sustains us. And as we honor mothers today, may we honor the godlike heart of mothers, that all their children and all of his children would know God's perfect love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you created us, both male and female, in your image and likeness. We thank you for the qualities and characteristics of your character that are displayed and portrayed in mothers and spiritual mothers in women. We thank you, Lord God, for your unconditional love and your forgiveness. We ask, Lord God, that you would help us to have the same heart as Jesus, that it would be our motivation and our desire to do your work, that we would see that the fields are indeed ripe for harvest, and we would boldly speak your word and be witnesses in our homes, in our towns, and even to the remotest part of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and the spiritual mothers, and go and enjoy, bless, and honor them.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking away. In the valley of my weeping.